Welcome to another City Gate Atlanta teaching. As an apostolic training and equipping center, it's our desire to empower you to fulfill your God-given destiny with tools like this teaching. For more information about City Gate Atlanta and our resources, go to citygateatlanta.org.
Let me pray, because it's just a heart of intercession that I am really trying to hold in for what God wants to birth in us. And Father, I just want to thank you, Lord, and say now, Holy Spirit, I yield myself to you, that you will speak through me, and then, Lord, that you will anoint our ears to hear what you, Holy Spirit, is saying to us. And so, Lord, I give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. So what I'm going to talk about is I wanted to go further. Seems like I'm hearing an echo up here. I wanted to go further, and I had shared this on Tuesday night, and Apostle give me said, I think there's some more that we need to press more into what God is saying with that particular verse that I had developed, because it's talking about the laws of prosperity. And many times when we talk about prosperity, we're focused on one section where, you know, prospering us financially, and God wants us to prosper financially. But God wants us to prosper in every area of our life, not only financially, but also in relationship, in jobs, in opportunities, in the God-given purpose, in the destiny he's called us to, as well as prospering to be able to be carriers of his anointing and his glory. Now, that being said, that he wants us to prosper in every area, and many times we say, when we read this scripture, which I'm going to talk about in a little I'm going to read in a few minutes. We only, like I said, only deal with financially. But like I said, he wants us to prosper in every area. But I want to point out something. In Luke 16, 10 through 11, I'm going to read this. If you are faithful in little things, you will be faithful in large ones. And I'm reading from NLT. But if you are dishonest in little things, you won't be honest with greater responsibility. If you are untrustworthy about worldly wealth, who will trust you with the true riches of heaven? So what you do, see, many times I want to connect the dots, because we're not like a silo, okay? We're not like this area and this area, what you do here in this area is not going to affect this area. Everything is connected. And what this is saying is that how you're operating in your financial life is also a reflection of probably how you're going to operate with God's anointing. How you're going to operate in the assignment he has for you. The way you will operate, the way you will think, the way you will talk will probably also be what you're manifesting and operating in when it comes to fulfilling the assignment of the Lord, the anointing that God has for you, being moving into even your job and relationships. It's all connected. So many times he can, as he is dealing with us, and that's why I believe this is what God is using even Susan and Tom to do it, that as they are calling us to deal with our financial life, it is going to have a domino effect in how you operate in other parts of your life. Because what you do in anything, you do in everything. What you do in the little, you will do in the much. What you do financially, you will do with your assignment under the anointing, how you carry the anointing. Therefore, it is important that, because even those who are dealing with the beliefs that we was dealing with, our money blueprint, and we were talking about the core beliefs, those beliefs are also affecting how you're operating other areas of your life. I mean, I remember when God was dealing with me concerning in this area of finance, and God began to show some areas in my life, like some fears that I didn't think I had. As I was dealing in that area of finance, he was showing me areas of fear, and I had a problem with, I didn't realize that I had a problem with trusting authority and respecting authority, which stemmed all the way back from my family and from the background of how I saw how the fathers in my background, in my bloodline, were not faithful to take care of their family. Therefore, it left it on the moms. Therefore, there came this certain mistrust of authority that they would take care of me. So it spilled over to even how I was relating to God, and I didn't even realize it until he started exposing these areas, and I had to sing that song. I go, to RTF, I go. Patton was to RTF I go. I had to deal with that because it was costing me a lot of money, one thing. But then second, you know, it was also affecting how I was operating ministry, how I was relating to the authority here. So God was exposing even that. And so that area, it was showing that it was affecting other areas of my life. But it started manifesting. I started seeing it when I was dealing with that area of finances. So in that regard, going into this scripture then, of 3 John 2, 3 John, and then the second verse, it says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers." So there's two principles that I identified in this scripture, and I'm going to talk about the first one that I identified is that your prosperity will grow to the extent that you do. Or your prosperity, it was like this prayer of, "Lord, cause them not to let their prosperity outrun their maturity to handle it." See, because you can't, and another part is that you cannot grow unless you're outside of your comfort zone. So you can't grow, it's going to require you to step out of your comfort zone, to step out of that which you're used to operating in, that's comfortable. You cannot grow inside your comfort zone. You have to go outside. And God wants you to grow in his character, wisdom, and revelation, and grace, and be strengthened with power through his spirit in the inner man, according to Ephesians 3:16, so that you can not only overcome every obstacle and defeat every enemy, but you'll be able to move and operate in his kingdom, in his glory, and in his purpose for your life. You see, many times we pray this prayer that Jay prayers prayed, 2 Chronicles 4:10, you know, "Lord, bless me indeed and enlarge my territory." Well, in order for God to enlarge your territory, he's got to enlarge you in order to handle that territory. Because why? Because there's a principle in Matthew 9:17 that you have to understand. Old wineskin can't handle new wine. In other words, it's the same thing as with financially. If you're getting money beyond what your soul can handle, it will ruin you. Just like the same thing with the anointing, with the glory of God. The old soul condition of the past can't handle the current new wine of God's glory that he's wanting to weigh on you. Two things, according to Matthew 9:17, will happen. Like in here, the wineskin will be ruined and broken, destroyed, and the wine will be wasted. Because the Bible said prosperity will ruin a fool. So, and I'm going to read that. Let me go ahead and read that. I want to read that scripture real quick. Because it brings out that principle real good. Yeah, Matthew 9:17, "Nor do they put new wine into old wineskin, or else the wineskin breaks, the wine is spilled, and the wineskin are ruined. But they put new wine into new wineskin, and both are mature, both are preserved." So see, there's a level of maturity that God is calling his ecclesia to come to, for the new level of glory that he's wanting to rest and operate on us through. And many times we want to stay capped in this box of a comfort zone, but yet we want the glory. We want to be carriers of his glory. We want to be carriers of his anointing, but yet we want to stay boxed in. And God said, you cannot do that, because if I release my glory on you at the level of maturity you are now, it will actually sabotage you, because prosperity will ruin a fool. All right, and so many times we don't know how foolish we are and the way you handle anything is the way you handle everything. And so if you're how you're handling it in the little will be how you're handling the much. And so it's like a feeling, part of the wound that I'm feeling even with Citygate, and so I believe in God's wanting to birth a new level of maturity where some of us has gotten stuck, and God said, I'm calling you to a new level. I'm wanting to break you out, because there's things I need for you to move into. I need you to be a carrier of my glory. If you look at that, A carrier of his glory is going to require that carrier to be able to handle, to steward that glory. Because many times, if you look even in different moves of God, you saw how many times many men and women of God, the anointing, the glory got ahead of the maturity level by which they was able to handle, and therefore end up sabotaging them. They started out well, but because they didn't continue in his presence where he can grow them and mature them in his image, in his character, in his way, so that they can be able to handle the new level of glory he's want to put on them, it end up sabotaging them. And God said, I'm not going to have that for Citygate. Citygate's got to grow up. It's got to move to a new level of maturity. Now, because you got to understand, in every new level, there's two types of pressure that you're always going to experience. First pressure is going to be the pressure that comes from the responsibility of the assignment and the anointing that God has called you to move into. There's going to be a pressure. There's going to be a demand. Even glory means the weighty presence. And then there's a second pressure of the enemy coming at you. Everybody always say that phrase, new levels, new devils, right? But there's also new anointings to take that devil out. There's also new anointing to carry his glory there. There's also new anointing to fulfill the assignment that God has called you to fill. Both pressures are going to come at every level. It comes with the territory. You can't go to a new level of God and not expect new levels of warfare. It's part of the package. It comes with the territory. But you have to be mature to be able to move into that new level of maturity where actually God's wanting to use these pressures to imprint his soul, imprint his nature, imprint his image into your soul. So you are a spirit. You have a soul. You live in a body. And when you got born again, your spirit was born and come into the image of God. But your soul is being transformed into his image. And the level that your soul is being transformed, that's the level of prosperity that you're going to be able to handle the prosperity of his glory and his anointing. So see, we're not just talking about money, okay? We're not just talking about finances, which that's part of it. Is that, but it's also, that's the money is the lowest form of wealth. The true riches of heaven with the anointing, the glory. That's the highest form. So God wants to train you on the lowest form so you can be able to better know how to operate with him with the highest form, which has to do with the glory of God and you fulfilling your purpose and assignment that he's called you to fulfill. So there's almost a new demand of maturity that things that you used to get hung up with in the past, you can't get hung up with them anymore. It's like he's going to need, and what I feel is part of the womb, because I was feeling this morning, it was almost as if there was a birthing, a travailing, an intercession to help this ecclesia grow to that level that God is calling so that he can be able to release the weightiness of his glory on us, where we can be able to carry it and steward it well. And let the church say amen. Amen. Because it is important that we grow and mature into this new thing that God is doing, because there's an increased weighty authority, government anointing. I don't know if you sense it, but we had a lot of mighty men of God and women of God coming through here saying great, prophesying great things and great government, you know, governmental authority and anointing and power on us. But then God is saying, therefore, ecclesia, I need you to receive the anointing to prosper in your soul so that this will not ruin you. You will not get half-cocked. You will not get destroyed by it. You will not sabotage it, but you'll be able to use it to fulfill. And not only that, be able to keep it going where it's not dissipating because you're refusing to break out of the comfort zone of your comfortable state of how your soul is. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, there's a level, I can't keep saying that, there's a level of maturity God's calling us to. And I'm thinking that, and I'm believing that there's anointing that he is releasing today for you to move in that level of maturity. I mean, there is a fresh anointing coming on you to be able to grow up. out of those things where you've been stuck. Those who are stuck, you're being unstuck today in the name of Jesus. You're coming into that fresh anointing of maturity, of his character, of his nature, of his image in your mind, your imprint of his image in your mind, imprint of his image in your will, imprint of his image in your emotions, so that the psychobabble ain't gonna disable you anymore. You ain't gonna be living in that psychobabble anymore. You're gonna rise up, grow, overcome the enemy, defeat him, and fulfill what God is calling you to fulfill in these last and evil days. Amen. Because you got to understand, and I'm dealing with the aspect of the pressure of how the enemy comes, because I know a lot of people focus on that. But you got to understand that it's not the size of the problem that is the issue. It's always the size of you. If something is overwhelming, it's not that it's too big, it's that you're too small. You're not allowing God to be greater in you. That's true. Because the Bible says in Proverbs 24:10, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. That means you don't have enough strength to overcome. I don't care how big the problem is, it's not bigger than the greater one that's in you. And God wants to use these situations. Like, you ever heard people say, don't waste your trial? He's got to use these situations on your job. Now, y'all know you're going to be tested during the week, right? You know you're going to have some extra trials and tribulations that you wasn't expecting. You're going to drive 285, and it's going to aggravate you a little bit more than usual, okay? Because God's got to, look, the enemy can easily defeat you just by getting you to get on 285. That's some growing up that need to be done, okay? You can't let the enemy defeat you that easy. God just used you mightily. He's ready to take you to the next level. So they say, okay, let me see if I can stop this person, because they're moving too fast in the Lord. They're messing up my kingdom too bad. So let me do it. So he know, oh, she haven't taken care of this in particular area right here. I know I can get her here. So I'm going at that time, after that great move of God, bring that situation, bring that person with the bad attitude that gets on your last nerve, get on traffic and get on 285 and actually bring a car that of a person that don't know how to drive, don't know how to put the signal on, driving slow. Because I know this is going to aggravate this child, because she don't know how to overcome 285 traffic. Oh, sorry. That may be funny, but that the enemy tries to identify those points of those, what you call those trigger points, right? He's got to, in order to disable you and hinder you from moving forward, because it's hard for God to use a person who's offended. He cannot use a person that's offended. It blocks him from moving you forward, and it prevents you from moving and establishing the kingdom of God, and it advances what the enemy wants to do. God can't use you to stop him because you're offended. So we cannot, being offended is, Bible said offenses will come. They're going to come. But like other guys said yesterday, but the issue is what you do when they come. All right, it can come to pass, you know, offense come, duck, don't catch that offense, okay, because it's not for you to take. Do not take the offense, let it keep on going, okay, because I want to show you in Matthew, and I'm jumping ahead, in Matthew 20, I want to show you the difference. Where's my scripture? Matthew 7. Where is that scripture? Hold on 1 second. Let me get it. In Matthew 7, and see, this is the thing where it's not about the problem. It's not the size of the problem. It's the size of you. It's because in Matthew 7, 24 through 27, you notice there's this parable of the one built on the rock, the other one built on the sand. Okay, and therefore, and I'm going to read this on the 24, and through 27. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to be a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, and the flood came, and the winds blew and beat on the house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain descended, the flood came, and the winds blew and beat on the house, and it fell, and great was its fall. One thing you have to notice here, the same identical storm with the same level of intensity came to both houses. One failed, the other didn't. So what does that tell you? It is not the storm that takes you out. It is how you're positioned when the storm comes that determines whether you're going to be taken out. Are you going to be founded on Christ and on his word, which was sung today? You're going to be found on him where you're allowing him to prosper your soul and mature your soul to be able to handle whatever comes your way, whatever adversity comes, or are you going to just stay in your comfort zone and do it like Frank Sinatra, my way, and end up being defeated by the enemy? That's like you building your house on the sand where you're not following what he says, but you're following what you want, what you think, how you've been brought up, how your culture's taught you, how your family line has taught you. Or are you willing to allow him to transform you to begin to not only him show your glory, but as you're seeing his glory, he's expecting that glory to transfer you into his image. Because that's the bottom line, is for us to be in his image. Because it wasn't the storm that destroyed the house. It was how the house was positioned when the storm came. And this is what God's wanting. If you're positioned on him, if you're allowing him to build you and cause you to prosper, cause you to grow, cause you to have his nature develop and built in you, you will not fall when the storm comes, no matter what level you come go up into. That's why the glory of God is for you when you minister to others. But the presence of God, it's in the presence of God that we mature and come to a level where he's able to fortify our spirit and our soul in him. The presence of God is for you. You have to not allow, I don't care how much signs, wonders, miracles, how much success you're getting on your job, how much promotion you're getting, do not let anything be greater than your intimacy with the Lord. That is the foundation of your soul prospering. That's the foundation of you being able to handle whatever level you go to. Whether the pressure of the enemy or the pressure of the responsibility of the assignment come, the intimacy that you have is what causes your soul to be prosperous, where it is strong, it is able to be the carrier of his glory, it is able to steward the glory and the anointing well, so that Father's heart and desire can be fulfilled in his ecclesia, individually as well as corporately. Because the goal is for us to mature individually, but also corporately, so that we can handle his glory, so that this move of God, this third move of God, is not going to be like the other moves of God. Where it starts, and I don't think it's going to be like with one individual or contained in one building. It's going to be where the ecclesia is going into all the mountains, filled with the glory of God, shifting and changing things because they're reflecting. Because we're our prayer, I want to take that song to the next level. I don't want to see his glory. I want to be carriers of his glory. I want to be like him in the earth. See, a lot of people are looking for the move of God. But you know what God is looking for? His people moving as God in the earth. Because when you have his people moving as him in the earth, there will be a move of God. It cannot not be. But that move of God will never be president over your intimacy with the Lord. I don't care how many souls are saved, how many people are here, how many things are being done and delivered. Don't ever allow the momentum of the glory to take precedence over sitting at his feet and being with him. Because that is the foundation of it all. He first made us for fellowship, then to do his will and his pleasure, led by the Holy Spirit. I keep hearing this echo. Help a sister out. So God wants his ecclesia to always remember that the greater one is always in you in the situation and any bad attitude and any circumstance. and that he's empowering you to be bigger than any problem and to overcome any situation. So it is important that you always gauge in with Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, how you want me to flow here? Holy Spirit, what you want me to do here? So that he can place you anywhere and you are able by his Spirit, his nature, his strength, his character, his wisdom and revelation to bring and manifest the kingdom of God and bring everything under his domain, no matter where you are. See, because many times God may put you in a bad situation so you can bring the kingdom there. I'm going to give you an example. I was on a particular project at my job, and the project was going well. And my director took me off that project and put me on a project that was going down. And look, y'all. No. Why? Because, when I got up there, I was finding out why was these people running off this project? Come to find out that it was the project leader who was harassing the team and was hindered getting that project done. At first, she was attacking the team, and she attacked me also because when I was trying to share some things, she just attacked me. And for a short moment, I got in the flesh. Yes, I did. And I said, Lord, you gonna attack me and hang up on me? Lord Jesus, help me. Okay, so then I got back in the spirit, and I started praying for her, and I started interceding and saw the enemy that was oppressing this woman. And I came to church, and I started worshiping God over the situation. See, many times we just come to church for ourselves, but sometimes you need to come and worship God to intercede for somebody else who can't get to the worship time, who can't get praise God, who can't intercede, who can't cast the devil off of them. But you can do it and do it on their behalf so they can get the victory. So I came in and started worshiping God and exalting the Lord over the situation, and I end up behind the first row on my face, you know, worshiping and praying and interceding over the situation. And I heard the Lord say this. He said, see, I brought her to you because I knew you'll pray for her. Because this woman was being oppressed by the enemy. The project wasn't advancing because she didn't know how to handle the pressures that project was coming with the customers not working like they're supposed to do, and they're blocking the momentum of that project being done. So the Lord began to show me what to do because he was saying, you intercede for her so she can get her breakthrough because, see, I may be the closest thing to the power of God that she can encounter. And so as I began to intercede and I saw the spirit that was on her, and I began to rebuke that off of her. Then I saw on that Monday when I went back to the thing shifted. And she started hearing me when she was rejecting me before. I started getting with her, okay, if we do this, then the project will progress. Because what she was frustrated with was that the customers were throwing up roadblocks. And so instead of her going after the customer, she would come and she would attack the team. Because of what the customer was blocking the project from getting done. So I said, well, if they do this, then if we do this, then we can keep the thing moving. And as long as she saw the project was moving, she was fine. And then eventually the project started moving and eventually it completed successfully. She started operating better on the project because God had to bring somebody there that can bring the kingdom of God in that project so that thing can get done. Because one of the things that the director told me, because I was wondering, why did you take me off this other project and put me there? He said, because he noticed a certain level of grace, we call it anointing, on me to be able to go to any project and get it to succeed. And I didn't have to be the leader. I would go in there because I believe in intercession, I believe in decreeing, I believe in getting in tune to the Holy Spirit to find out how do we get this project back under the kingdom of God so that it can fulfill its purpose and destiny. Because you got to understand, jobs, businesses have a book of destiny. A department has a book of destiny. There are certain things that God has ordained that particular department to fulfill. And so when that department is not fulfilling it, he needs to put an ecclesia there, one of his kingdom people there, to get that project back in line with the way he ordained that department to fulfill. I'm hearing the customers. I'm coming in and say, I'm an intercessor to the bone, I should say. I mean, you know, this, and many times I can hear the cry of the customer crying out that their project is not being done and not able to get what they want. And so the Lord will begin to show me how we need to get this thing going so that the customer can get what they want, the company can get what they want, and we all win it. Okay, and that is God fulfilling his purpose. See, that's a practical way. See, that's the glory of God right there. See, normally it's not people falling out on the power of God. It's not just us praying for people and they falling out or getting healed. That's part of the glory. But it's also the glory of God when you can go on a project that's going down and get it to operate the way God created it to operate and get that project done so that company can fulfill what God has ordained that company for fulfill. That's the glory I'm looking for. I'm looking for the wisdom like Joseph had to go to the king and say, Pharaoh, this is what you need to do. All right, this is what your dream is. This is what you need to do because there's a famine, an economic devastation coming to your state. Because he didn't say it like that, but I mean, and this is what you need to do in order to avoid that calamity coming on you. And that's what God wants to strategically place his people. Not only with that glory to give that wisdom, but that character to walk in an attitude of humility and wisdom to fulfill what God wants you to fulfill. So he wants to place you. And don't get discouraged if you're placed in a bad situation or you have under a bad manager or you're in a situation that is challenging. Ask the Lord, Lord, how do you want me to grow in this? Use this pressure to mature me so that I can fulfill what you want so that this particular thing can fulfill the assignment that you have for it to fulfill. Because the end game is fulfilling the kingdom, getting the kingdom of God to be established there. Did that make sense? You understand what I'm saying? Thank you, Jesus. Okay, so the next law that I saw in there, in the same scripture that says, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. And I remind you, it's not limited to just finance, but it's prospering every area of your life. Is that a prosperous soul attracts, receives, not only wealth and resources, but is strong and is empowered by the Spirit of God with the character of God to handle the glory of God, is also able to receive and attract blessing, favor, able to handle the anointing of God, strengthening his inner man and enabling his inner man to carry out and truly be carriers of God's glory and his anointing. But a powerless, and I call it a powerful and prosperous soul compared to a non-prosperous and powerless soul repels not only wealth and money, but also repels blessing, is incapable of stewarding the glory of God and his assignment. A prosperous soul attracts and is able to handle the glory of God, the anointing of God, able to flow with the glory of God and anointing of God. A powerless. So see, this is the trick of the enemy. If he can do stuff to make your soul powerless, then he will get you to repel the blessing. He don't have to block it. He gets you to block it. He gets you to repel it because he knows that this is a principle that a powerless, non-prosperous soul repels and is incapable of handling the glory of God, incapable of fulfilling the will of God, is incapable of carrying the glory of God, the anointing of God, as well as repels the blessing and the wealth that God wants to give to you. All right, as well as a prosperous soul is able to receive it, okay? So what are some of the things that make your soul powerless? And I'm going to leave some of these things. Have we got them up there? What are some of the things that make your soul powerless or is an indication that your soul is powerless and not prospering? Lack of knowledge. My people prepared for a lack of knowledge. And lack of knowledge has to do also with you may mentally ascend to things, but that doesn't mean you know it. You only just mentally ascend to it. To know it is to do it. See, we in America, we always think that, you know, if I can give to you back what you gave me, or if I can just repeat that knowledge, then I know that knowledge. You're actually, that is not that you know it. You just mentally ascend to it. The know it is to do it. And so a lack of knowledge, you have blind spots, rebellion, disobedience, unforgiveness, lack of wisdom, poverty mindset, a siege mindset, connecting to powerless people will make you so powerless, okay? Wrong relationships will make you so powerless. Wrong alignments. See, that's why it's very important to get unresolved issues in your soul. Fear, shame, guilt, anger. Yes, negative words and complaining. You know, a belief system that supports a powerless soul, which includes a lot of this. Because your belief system is going to, your core belief that you have been built up over the years, if it's not in line with the word of God, we call it ungodly beliefs, will make your soul powerless and prevent you from moving forward in God. So you really have to identify, what are some of these things that are causing me to become powerless where God cannot be able to put the weightiness of his glory on me where I can move forward? So I want to pray for some of these things. So Father, I first of all, Lord, I want to repent, Lord, for the rebellion and for the disobedience and unforgiveness, Lord, that we have engaged in that caused our soul to be powerless. I want to repent, Father, even for the mistrust, I'm mistrusting you as our authority to take care of us. And Lord, I ask that you forgive us, Lord, for engaging in these sins. And Lord, we receive your forgiveness. And we ask right now, Lord, that based on your forgiveness, Lord, we ask that the blood of Jesus will cleanse us from this sin. And we break and denounce the power of this thing over our lives, Father, right now in the name of Jesus. And right now, Father, in Jesus' name, we receive, Lord, that anointing to prosper our soul with your obedience, with your forgiveness, Lord, with submitting to you, O Father. Allow our Holy Spirit to grow us up and take us out of our comfort zone where we would be able to enlarge us, Father. As you enlarge our borders, enlarge us so that we can be able to handle your glory and your anointing in our lives, Father. We just worship you and thank you, Lord, for delivering us right now. And Lord, even all the way back, even our generationally, all the way back, in Jesus' name, in our bloodline, Lord, to cleanse these areas of rebellion and disobedience and wrong mindsets, oh, Father, and wrong relationships. Lord, when we had gotten into wrong relationships and you had told us, Lord, don't hook up with that. Or, Lord, we have connected to the wrong people and you told us, don't hook up with that. We went on and did it. And, Father, we want to repent for connecting to the wrong relationship, wrong alignments, Father. We want to repent for repelling and rejecting the right alignments that you want us to line up with, Father. And say, Lord, we bless our soul to prosper with the right alignments, with the right connections, with the right relationships, Father. Lord, we bless our soul, God, to be able to want to have a close intimacy with you. We value you more than the ministry you want to flow through us in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name for doing this in us in the name of Jesus. And so I just want to challenge you guys to begin to look at this list and look and allow God to bring up the things like what Christine was saying was so right on, where you're not waiting for somebody to pray for you to get delivered, but you yourself is going to the altar and dealing with these things that are causing you to be powerless, where you're not strong enough to be able to handle the glory of God that wants to rest on you. Not only financially, but I mean regarding your purpose and destiny, regarding the anointing, all the anointings that he wants to flow you through. There is a lot in your book. Do not get hung up with just one aspect of how God is using you. That's just one aspect of what's in your book. That's not the whole book, okay? There are many identities that God wants to flow you in, and that's why he don't want you to get locked into an identity. And that's what he had to deal with me, with dealing with, that I really have three generations of intercessors. So I'm definitely have that strength of being an intercessor. And I'm going to be it. That intercessor is always going to be there. OK, but the way it flows in the new season has to be different, because I knew that's why he came. When he brought me here, he stripped me. He said, I want you to lay that down. Because the way I want you to flow an intercessor here is going to be different how you was leading intercessor in the previous church. Because it's a whole new way of flowing as an apostolic intercessor. It's a whole new way of flowing in a church or being an intercessor that has a pastoral base. I don't know if you understand what I'm meaning, okay? It's a whole new different flow. So if you get locked into that identity that I'm all just only this, when God is trying to say, I'm trying to move you into the next chapter of your book, and you get stuck, that's where that comfort zone is. See, I'm used to operating a certain way because I've been doing it for 5 years. So now God said, okay, now I want to do a new thing in you. I want to operate you in a different way. So are you willing to go with me in that new way, which is going to require a cost. It's going to require a greater level of demand. It's going to require you to shift and change some things that you used to and like to do. You're used to flowing this way. It's flowing good. I'm able to do this. I got, you know, and really, I don't need the Holy Ghost in order to be flowing real quick because I'm used to knowing how to, and that's not the place you want to be. You want to always be with the Holy Ghost, where you're depending on Holy Spirit to move you into that new level of maturity so he can fulfill that next level of destiny. And it's going to require you to grow up. It's going to require a certain demand on you that the previous level did not require. So what you got by with in the previous level, you're not going to be able to get by with on this new level. What level of maturity you was able to overlook and, you know, just kind of overlook, you're not going to be able to do that on this level. It's going to require you to move to a new level of maturity in following the Holy Spirit in the day-to-day thing. One of the things I really believe, and then, and Sandra, you could come up and do what you need. One of the things that, anything you want to pray for, one of the things that I believe that God wants us to understand to do, and I think even Nathaniel have brought this out, is understanding the weapon of rest and being in his peace. And before we used to be able in the bad just to run I can't take time to rest. Either you obey God and learn to rest and get that Sabbath rest, or your body will make you see how important you don't need to meet that meeting. Okay? Because when your body is putting you down, whether that meeting takes place or not, you can't go. You have no strength. You have no energy. And if the enemy can't stop you, he'll drive you until he wears you out. Where you can't do, and he'll wear you out with what? With battles that maybe it's not yours to fight. You got to discern. You got to choose your battle. You got to choose where. There's some warfare God don't want you to be a part of. And see, it's a trick of the enemy to get you to fight every itty bitty battle to wear you out, so that when the real battle comes, you need to fight. You too exhausted to fight it because you've been fighting battles that God's not telling you to fight. Okay, so there's a new level of increase. Hearing the Lord and how to not only for the anointing, but how to minister that anointing. And many times we even with the prophetic word, how to when to minister it, how to minister it, what time to minister it. See, Holy Ghost wants a new level of hearing him in everything you do, and he wants you to start doing it on a day-to-day basis so that when we come together corporately, we all, our hearing has increased. When we can hear what Holy Spirit says, even to the slightest bit, because we can easily get caught up in a rut, even a city gate rut. We can easily get, we can easily get into a form, and now the Lord wants to change the form, and no, we're used to flowing this way. Are we used to prophesying this way? And the Holy Ghost said, no, I want to do it differently. Are you mature enough to hear him say, let's go differently, like David did? When David was fighting the Philistines, he said, Lord, should I go and fight him? He said, yeah, hit him head on, straight on. And then second time, he was successful. He was successful. And many times we can get caught up with, it worked before. It worked before like this, so why not keep doing this like this? If it ain't fixed, don't break it, right? If it ain't broke, don't fix it, right? But David said, okay, let me, Philistines coming at him again. All right, Lord, how do you want me to handle this? This time I want you to wait to hear the the sound of the mulberry trees, and that was the angelic force going first, then go. Are you tuned enough to hear the Holy Spirit and how he wants you to ministrate that anointing and that glory that he's placed on you? Or are you taking the lead to do it how you want to? Get into that Frank Sinatra, I did it my way. That's not going to work in the kingdom. That's not going to work in the kingdom. Because God is requiring you to do it his way, at his time, in his character. You know, because that's one of the things that used to get me. I see all the intercessors praying and being there before God. Then they come out of the presence of God and they're mean. That's like, how could that happen? I can't understand that. How can you be in the glory of God, in the presence of God, and then you, as an intercessor, interceding, traveling, and then you come out of the glory of God and you're mean and critical? That don't make sense to me. I said, there's something you're doing wrong. There's something you ain't doing something right. You ain't doing something right. You may be having an encounter with a spirit, but it's not the Holy Spirit. Okay. And so it's very important. City Gate, Ecclesia, you need to hear me. It is the glory of God on you is not, that's not the most important thing, is how you're ministering that glory that's on you the way Holy Spirit says in his character and in his likeness. We do not have the choice to do it our way. That's why he wants you to die to your way. Allow him. I mean, and it's very critical to be, make sure you're very in line with the apostolic covering, that alignment that God has for you. That's going to be very critical, especially why? Because we're moving in a governmental mantle. See, there are mantles God's wanting to rest on us. But he needs you to allow him to enlarge you to be able to carry that mantle, not only individually, but corporately. He needs you to not waste your trials. He needs you to allow him to use the pressure of your trials to imprint his image in your soul so that you'll be able to handle and be that true carrier of his glory, because it's picking up momentum. I've sensed this thing, and I told sharing with the leadership, it's like a momentum of God's weighty glory getting ready to flood this place, flood his people. But he's calling us to a new level of maturity. And those who feel they're stuck in this way of operating, and God saying, I need you to shift. And you say, well, I don't care. I don't know how, Lord. I don't know how. Well, the Lord says today you will be able to shift today, because I'm declaring he's releasing an anointing to be able to shift into that new level of maturity, to be able to release the fire of God, to be able to burn up those things that make your soul powerless and unable to be a carrier of his glory and cause your soul to prosper. The fire to cause your soul to prosper, to fulfill the level of maturity that he's needing you to fulfill, so that you won't be like an old wineskin that cannot handle the new wine of his glory. Because an old wineskin cannot handle the new wine. It cannot. It doesn't have the ability. Therefore, I'm declaring to you that you are coming into a new level of being a new wineskin that's able to handle the anointing, the new wine of his glory and the new wine of his anointing. In Jesus' name, I'm declaring there's a new level of prosperity increasing on your life to be able to know how to strategically defeat the enemy. That he's not going to really easily take you out. That you are more than an overcomer and you're going to flow like that. That you're more than a conqueror and you're going to flow like that. Because God has called you to overcome every obstacle so that his will can be done in these last and evil days, so that as he looked down on heaven, he sees his kingdom operating in you, and his kingdom operating in every place around you, in the name of Jesus. So I'm speaking to the church in this region, and I'm saying, grow up, overcome the enemy, mature in God, so that you can handle the glory of God, and it will not ruin you. In Jesus' name! Ah!
Thank you for listening to the City Gate Atlanta teaching. We hope you were encouraged, exhorted, and equipped. For more information about City Gate Atlanta, our resources, or upcoming conferences and events, go to citygateatlanta.org.